Hey, everybody. Welcome back to an Apple Viz Extra podcast. This is number 29. We are going to be talking with a young gentleman that is a developer for The Voice. Take a picture and read it to me. And then, along with me, with my co-host, Seaton. We haven't had him around for a long time. It's great to have you back, Scott Davert.
Hey, good evening, Thomas. Good evening, everybody, or afternoon, or morning, or whenever it is you decide to listen to this podcast. It's great to be back.
It is good to have you back, man.
The extra is going to be turning 30 next time, huh?
Yes, it is going to be 30 next time, whenever that will be. But it's good to have you back. Thank you for coming on with us. And we have this great gentleman here that, I don't know, I think it was about, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago? I don't know, but about that time. We had a young gentleman that was asking for feedback on an app that he was working on called Voice. And what was extraordinary is that this young man is in high school. Which is pretty phenomenal to produce something like this that's absolutely free. And basically, he just came on Apple Viz and asked for some feedback about it and stuff. And I was just really thoroughly impressed. So I wanted to invite him on. So let's hear for Shalim Shaw. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, it's really great to be on here. It's honestly, it's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on with us. And when I read the post that you put on Apple Viz for the first time, I was like, well, this ought to be interesting. And and so I got to, I picked it up and started playing with it. And sure enough, it was free, which I was totally amazed by something that would be created like that. And not only that, but your commitment to make it free. So, Shalim, why don't you tell us about yourself and how did you come about creating something like this Voice?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I'm a high school student, and outside of like doing programming stuff and school, I play tennis at school and sometimes with my dad. And yeah, I like doing basically all the things that everyone else likes to do. But then last year in ninth grade, I was taking this world history course, and in that course, the teacher showed us a documentary about North Korea, and in that documentary, there was a man named Sanduk Ruit who went there and performed cataract surgery on like thousands of people and enabled them to regain their sight. So from last year, I've been inspired to do something that would help blind people and visually impaired people. And I've always been passionate about technology and learning how to program. And I've made like a couple games before making Voice. So I used I used what I knew previously about making iPhone apps. And I learned like a bunch of other new computer science things. And yeah, I made Voice.
Well, that's interesting how you got the idea from a documentary where people were suffering vision from cataract. And that in itself is a cool story. So you got the idea that you wanted to help the visually impaired and blind people, which is always to me, it's kudos for me. I think it's fantastic in what you were thinking. But how did you come about finding what we would want and what we need in VoiceOver itself? Did you do a lot of researching, or how did you do that?
Well, at first I didn't know. At first I just thought of the idea of like making an app that would let someone basically take a picture of anything and read it out loud. So that's what I made at first. And it was terrible because none of the blind people knew how to use it because it wasn't compatible with VoiceOver and it was really hard to use, even for people that could see. So yeah, so I contacted a person who runs like a little tech talk in LA. Mm-hmm. And he's also blind. So I asked him if he would test my app and give me feedback on it. So he tested it a little and gave me some feedback and suggested a bunch of features that would make it user-friendly for blind people. So I spent like a month trying to implement all of his ideas and try and do whatever I could to make it easier for blind people to use. And after doing all of that stuff, after continuously like improving it and asking other blind people what they thought was missing from the app, how I can make it easier for them to use. And after doing all that, now I think voice is decent enough for blind people to use.
Well, you know, the one thing I was surprised to find out, I did a little bit of research on that, on the app itself, and it looked like you've been working on it for quite a while. It looks like you came out with it in last August of last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And you worked on it, and I think there was the, that was a 1.0, and then you released a 2.0 in December. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think we found out about it until about February when the 3.1 came out, and now mm-hmm. you got the 3.2. So to us, or for me, I know there are a lot of people, I don't think we've heard of the voice before February. So how did you find about AppleVis and decide to post on there for feedback?
Yeah, so I didn't know about AppleVis at all before I went to this place called Blindness Support Services mm-hmm. Incorporated, and I showed them my app and I demoed it in front of them, and they gave me their feedback also, and then they suggested that I should post it on AppleVis, and that there were a lot more blind people that were that would give me good feedback. So yeah, so that's when I got the idea that I should probably post this to AppleVis.
Well, I'm glad you did, because now we got this great app that pretty much what I've seen with it is pretty marvelous for something being free, because you know, the first thing I ran it, I was able to get a document, and then somehow it was able to notice the four corners, and then it automatically captures it, and then it starts reading it, and that's pretty much the app in a nutshell. So it pretty much just takes a picture, talk, and while it's talking, you have the option to go to book mode, which is allows you to do a multiple capture image. So if you have multiple things you want to capture as it's reading, and then once it's done, it deletes itself. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And then tell me a little bit more about why does it, you know, some people have asked, the app requires internet connection to make this app work. What is going on there that that needs of something like that?
Yeah, so the OCR from the app is done online, and then also the text-to-speech is also done online. So for that reason, it requires an internet connection. So what happens in the background is that when you take a picture and click read, it goes to an online server that I set up, and there it does the OCRing, and after it's done, it sends that text over to Google's text-to-speech engine, and then that's the Google's text-to-speech engine sends back an audio file, which is then read by the app. And there's a number of reasons why I do this. First of all, it's so that the app size isn't a tremendous giant app size, because like most of the apps are probably like 100 megabytes or like 50 megabytes versus voice, which is only like 5. So that's one reason why I do it. And the second reason is it also doesn't slow down your phone and cause it to lose battery life. So those are a couple reasons why it uses the internet connection. But yeah, basically that's what's happening in a nutshell.
Speaking of Google, do you also have an Android version, or is this just iOS only for now?
Currently it's just iOS only, but in the near future I plan on releasing an Android version.
With AppleVis now, when you you obviously went and got feedback from your local area, and we have, of course, have read the comments in the app entry and such. But was that a pretty good representation of the response that you got privately as well when you posted it on AppleVis?
Yeah, I got a couple emails, but they basically just said what the website said. Most of the things people suggested were also on the website's comments, so.
Which yeah. is primarily, probably I'm guessing, could we have a history of the things we scan so we can listen to them again, or have a text version of it so we can read them ourselves?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably some storage options where we could store through our results. Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, mostly people want, like, the most popular response was that when will we be able to save the text that we have just got from the image? And, like, will we be able to put this on third-party services such as Google Drive, Dropbox, or email it to someone, stuff like that? But there were also some things that I needed to fix on my end, such as making – there's actually a tutorial at the beginning, but I thought it was VoiceOver labeled, but I guess not. You have to swipe left a bunch of times before it starts reading the labels.
Right.
But that was a little confusing for a lot of the users. So that was something I needed to fix on my end. So overall, I got really helpful responses.
Well, that's good. So what are some of the answers that you've given for people? So you can just tell everybody now some of the answers that those questions I've asked you. What are your future with that? I mean, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, so in the future, I'm actually currently working on another version of Voice where there's going to be multiple languages. I'm thinking like 40-something languages. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know it's 40-something languages that Voice will be able to take a picture in and read to. Along with that, all the features that the AppleViz comments and other private emails have suggested, such as being able to export the text to third-party services and being able to save the text to like notes or something. Also, an Android version. That's not part of the new version, but that's something also I'm working on.
That sounds like a big release. That's going to be pretty massive, though, what you're saying there, because that's going to pretty much check off the boxes of the things that people are really wanting to see out of this. And so each of the scan images that we send back to you to your server, what happened to those scan images?
As soon as the server detects the text from the image, mm-hmm. it deletes the image and sends the text to Google server and deletes the text. Google's engine only takes the text and outputs an audio file, but mm-hmm. it never saves the text locally. So anything that ever comes into the server never gets seen by anyone, or it only stays in the server for like about 10 seconds, which is when it's processing and actually extracting the text from the image. But other than that, none of the images ever get saved.
Yeah, we had quite a few people asking the privacy issue, which I get, but you know, it's a double-edged sword, and you said it yourself, and that is, one side is that you got a 6 meg size, so you're not dealing with this absolutely enormous size, plus it isn't doing all the processing on your phone, so it's not going to kill the battery. Two, it's probably going to work on a lot more devices than you could. The older devices like the 4S and such, that we wouldn't have to worry about that because there's no processing that has to be handled, so it would work flawlessly. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. on the other side is that you're actually sending images, and, you know, certain people are just worried about, you know, what they scan, and it might be kind of private and reveal credit cards and bank accounts like that. So, you know, it's a tit for tat. So do you know when you send the text to this Google text-to-speech, and do you know how Google handles that privacy-wise?
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, but what Google does is basically it takes in the text and doesn't really see the text. It just uses its algorithm to convert the text into audio, and then it deletes the text and sends the audio to me.
Okay, and then you send it back to us.
And then the app, as soon as it gets sent, it starts talking. So as soon as it's sent, it starts talking. And then the audio file is never stored locally on the phone. It's actually streamed from Google. So as soon as it finishes reading it, it deletes the audio file unless you restart it. And then it plays it again and then deletes it. So basically nothing gets stored. The longest amount something ever gets stored on my end is 10 seconds, which is the OCR process.
Okay, about 10 seconds to convert it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then is there like a maximum of length, or have you seen anything like that? I guess a single page wouldn't contain a whole lot, but...
Actually, there isn't currently. It might take a little longer to process something with a bunch of words, but... Usually, there isn't a max length, and in fact, when you do the book mode thing, you can take multiple pictures, and it'll process things one after another, and it won't even matter what the length is. So you can take a picture of 12 pages and then click process, and it'll process it one after another. It'll send one, and then do the process, and then send the audio file over to voice, and then send another one. As the first one is being read, the second one is being processed, so it doesn't take any additional time. And it also, since the process is done on the server, it allows you to take multiple pictures and have them read one after another.
Yeah, it's really good for that. I've noticed, I think probably 7 pages was the most I've done, but it was it didn't slow down at all. In fact, it was a real nice fluid process. You know, timing really didn't slow down for me at all, and. You know, it was great to be able to be in an area. What I did was I was taking a picture of a menu, you know, and those are kind of iffy sometimes. But, mm-hmm. you know, it did give me the overall picture of what was on the page. That was really nice. And it was a really big menu. but, you know, yeah, it didn't slow down at all. I had no real issue with it. And I only had 1 or 2 bars of LTE, so you know, it was a really good solid process. It was really nice to be able to do that and not have to pay $100 to do so.
Yeah. What are some of the results are you finding with the accuracy of the voice, Shalimu, from users?
Well, so regarding accuracy, yes. Currently it works pretty well with any standard standard text or font, such as like Times New Roman or Helvetica or some standard fonts that most word processors have. But with some weird fonts, it does have a little issue, and especially handwritten text, because like humans can barely distinguish other humans' handwritten text. So obviously, it'll be a little harder for the computer to do the same thing. So.
Sure. That's a limitation of the technology, not necessarily your app. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, even you know, expensive software packages that you'd find on, you know, a full-blown Mac or Windows operating system, you're going to have some of those issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, currently it's fine with regular text. If it's small and the user takes the image from a faraway distance, sometimes the OCR quality may be a little worse. But other than that, I think the OCR quality is, I think it's comparable to the other applications that are paid. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to agree with you on that. The few that I've worked with that, let's just say $10 and less, definitely. I think I get about the same results as I would with the others. Now, of course, they would offer more functionality, but of course, this is being free and you're coming out with the update. Well, have you ever thought of maybe, has anybody suggested using and tap into the iPhone accelerometer for not so much the distance, but tilting and rotating? Because I find that some of the people that I work with when we do OCR scanning, I notice that they tilt the phone quite a bit. And sometimes that would make a difference, just how you tilt it, because it kind of askew the reading of it. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your OCR is capable of correcting those if it can. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, so... So with the tilting thing, the first time I talked to the blind person that helped me out a tremendous amount with my app, he said that for some people the the feature may be really helpful because they can't really see whether or not they're tilting it a little too much. So I thought about building that feature, but instead I built the feature that you just mentioned earlier, where the app corrects the image tilting itself. So if the user takes it at a slight angle, it just automatically repositions the image so that the camera is looking at it straight instead of sideways. But so far I haven't had any issues where if the image was tilted, the OCR quality became worse. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's something definitely that I'm thinking of working on and adding in the next version. Yeah.
Now, Scott, you were telling me some of the things you would like to see, and I forget what you had suggested. It was something about more voice. Oh, I know what it was. Blank pages, right? I think by the technology you have, what you do now, I don't think you could do it, but sometimes it will detect if there is text being noticed. And, you know, if we had a blank page, we would never get it. We would have to take the process. We have to image it, wait about 10 seconds, and I'll come back and say it's blank. And he was wondering how it would work, or if it could work the way you do it, by it sensing that there is text there. So we at least know we have it right side up. It doesn't matter if it's upside down or right side up, right? I mean, it doesn't matter which angle it's coming in. It's going to read. It's going to OCR it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But have you thought about it sensing the text?
Yeah, I have thought about it. The only thing that I'm not sure how to do that currently, because right now, just to detect if it is if there's words on the page, I would have to OCR it for 10 seconds and then return whether or not it has text or not. And that's solely based on the output that I get. So I'm not sure how you would be able to do that on the fly, where you would be able to detect if there's a word on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking into it. So
yeah, so I'd be curious if you could, like, I don't know, there's some people that may ask, why don't you give us that OCR processing right on our phone so it would come back even quicker and more responsive immediately, if that's possible too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
either that or, so let's say, for example, you know, you OCR page and there's no text. So once it's determined that there's no text, if it could place you back in the main window, you know, where the capture image part is and the image finder and filters and all that. So instead of having to go back manually, it just automatically returns me back to the previous screen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Thank you. I hadn't thought of that before. That sounds like a great idea.
The other thing, and you know, it's a great app. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. The other thing, and I know it would require quite a bit of revamping on your part, but I work with a lot of individuals who have both vision and hearing loss, and essentially, they are reliant upon the text being read by voiceover to work with Braille displays. So, for example, I can still use speech, but I'm getting to the point where I'm not really able to as much as I used to. So I'm pretty much reliant totally on Braille. And with a self-voicing app, the Braille display isn't going to pick that up, because VoiceOver actually drives the Braille display. And, you know, again, I know that would take quite a bit of revamping, but it might be something to consider a little further down the road. Also because when you have the text readable with VoiceOver, let's say, for example, I'm not sure how a word is spelled. I can go into that text with VoiceOver and, you know, get my cursor on the word that I want to know how it's spelled and, you know, spell it out letter by letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many people have suggested that, actually. Yeah. I'm definitely planning on in the next version. There were two things that I wanted to add, which I forgot to mention earlier. One is the option of doing offline OCR. And that, I'm not sure how much the time would be if the OCR were to happen online. It might take half the time as each image. But not only that, I was also planning on getting rid of the Google's text-to-speech engine and just being completely reliant on VoiceOver, since I know many blind people are used to using that. And like you mentioned, it has other use cases also. So
yeah, it would take a lot less data if you think about it, because you're not mm-hmm. having to send the audio back. Because mm-hmm. in essence, you're talking about when you have internet connection, you got to have data, which you send an image to you, and then you send us back a streaming audio. So you have two elements here that will chew up your data. And mm-hmm. so if you can eliminate the audio and just send us a text, that would solve Scott's issue about us having an actual text file that mm-hmm. he can use his Braille display to read. And yet, if you have Samantha, for example, that would read that text to us. And so mm-hmm. we would be able to save that text file. So however you do it, it's going to be pretty remarkable. And I think what you've done is really pretty remarkable. I really commend what you do for as a young gentleman you are in high school that have gotten this far and reaching out and being very receptive and listening and wanting to change these things and keeping it free. I couldn't tell you how many people is going to be going to love this.
I built the app. Yeah.
You're helping a lot of people, and I just want to say you get a pat on the back. That's really awesome. Really awesome job of you.
Thank you. Yeah, my entire goal of making this app was to help as many people as I could. So I'm glad that some people might be benefiting from my app. I'm really glad.
It's not might. There are quite a few people that already are. Again, like I with the feedback I was giving you, I didn't want to give you the wrong impression that, you know, I think your app is not good or, you know.
No, I'm all for suggestions. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you build a house, right? You get a solid foundation and then you kind of build on it. And I would say you have a pretty solid foundation, you know.
Thank you.
And I don't know if eliminating the Google option is necessarily a good thing. You know, if you could keep it in and then kind of, you know, go into settings and have either a voiceover mode or, you know, an online mm-hmm. mode. And then that mm-hmm. way, say, for example, slower devices like your iPhone 4S's and your iPod Touch, they would probably still benefit greatly from the online option. Mm-hmm. But, you know, somebody that's on an iPhone 6 Plus, mm-hmm. they probably don't need it as much. So that's just something I was thinking about.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true.
That's what I love about it is that the way you designed it, and I know there are some paranoia folks out there, and I get that. There is privacy issue and stuff, but, you know, it's really about what I said earlier is that this is a remarkable app that will work on a lot of the older devices, and that is not heard of in some of these paid apps. Those require that you have the latest, greatest 6 or 5S a minimum to make it work right, and that's because they have all this processing power. But you, on the other hand, just took it the other way around, and so it would work on these older devices. And I think, to me, I think people in the third world countries and even those that are here in the bigger developing countries would utilize this more because it is cheaper. We can't all afford the latest and greatest, and so we can't always be there to be able to pay up for something that we don't have the processing for. So you kind of filled in the gap that others haven't done, and that's why I want to point this out to my users and our listeners is that the way that Shalem has done this is a remarkable and unique idea that I don't think I've seen many people do. And so, cool little app. Yes, it's definitely a beginning stage of an app. It's definitely in the beginning stage. There's a lot more that we'd love to see come out of it. And we certainly hope that you will continue to release these releases for it and get fuller and more robust of an app, such as the other ones you do pay for. And so, my gosh, so you've been doing this on the side, not for school, for anything else, just pretty much just get yourself learn the know-how, how to make apps and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and I was reading earlier, there's actually a 63% unemployment rate among blind people. Mm-hmm. So just making my app free and like helping them use it without having to pay for like a $100 service, that's what's driving me to make this app and do it on the side every moment I get a free time. So
that's cool. Now, are you able to put more recognition in there? Now, right now, when I put my phone up, it'll say detected four corners. Now, are you able to add more to that, or is that a limitation of whatever OCR APIs that you're limited to?
No, that's done locally. The detection of the four corners of the document. No, that I can add whatever that I want to, because that one was done locally. The only thing that's not done locally is the OCR and the text to speech. But other than that, everything is done locally.
Okay. And so could you, I don't know how quick the cameras are, but you know, I always tell people put the phone down on the page that you want to scan, then slowly lift up. Mm-hmm. And yours will tell me there's four corners detected, but sometimes, like if I'm scanning a magazine or a book, I don't want the four corners to be detected. So I'm kind of left guessing how high I should be if it's blurry and stuff. But I tell people to double tap the center where the camera view to refocus. Is there any way you can tell us if the image is clear, crisp, light, dark, blurry?
If you want to take a picture of a book that maybe has doesn't have four corners or like just a certain segment, then you can always turn it off, turn the auto cropping or whatever off by tapping crop on and crop off. It's a toggle on the bottom part of the main page. And if you tap that, it'll just turn it off so that it won't ever say four corners detected again unless you turn it back on and you want it to detect the four corners. And also, the app automatically corrects the brightness. So if it's really bright, then it tones it down so that it's just correct. And if it's really dark, then it also increases the brightness so that it can see the text and increases the contrast between the words and the background of the document or the page. So it does all of those things automatically. But I mean, if you really want, I can still add a feature where it detects whether or not the brightness is correct, or just to let the user know.
Well, I noticed a lot of people got kind of a jittery hand sometimes, and it's not their fault. You know, a lot of us don't have the best hands like a surgeon, you know, to keep it really on the mark without being blurred. What do you think, Scott? Would that be something you would benefit if you heard voice response of what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. As somebody who's totally blind, I mean, you know, I have no idea what kind of lighting situation I'm coming into a lot of the time. You know, especially, in bigger cities, I mean, you don't necessarily know, for example, maybe you have tons of light coming in from the street, or maybe you don't, you know, maybe you're in a totally dark environment. But, you know, as anybody who's used OCR technology can tell you, the lighting makes a huge difference. So I think that, you know, any sort of feedback, and I know that I don't know how it works exactly, because I'm not, other than OCR, I don't do pictures mainly. I know there's a way to, like, you know, it'll say, you know, the picture is, I'm trying to remember the words it uses, you know, picture is blurry, or, you know, picture is crisp, or whatever it is. I don't know if there's some way you could harvest that part of the camera detection, especially in the newer eye devices, but that could be something to look at, or even just saying, you know,
I mean,
text is clearly illuminated, or I mean, that might be a bit wordy, but you know, I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also like you mentioned earlier, the autofocus thing, it doesn't, it's not necessary to double tap the center of the screen to autofocus. It does that automatically, but that's just if you want to manually do it. But yeah, the autofocus feature also does the same thing where it readjusts the lighting. But what my app does is just in case the autofocus didn't work out correctly, and there were still some issues with the lighting, then it just does it. It just double checks in the background to see, yes, the brightness is correct and it's at the best level it can possibly get. So, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely, I will look into how I can change or detect the brightness before the user takes the picture, so that it provides a little free feedback to the user.
Yeah, I mean, I just think a little more feedback is always beneficial. I'm not saying to overdo it and be super over verbosity. You know, I don't want it to be saying something every 2 seconds. I guess it could be a setting for some people that would like it very verbose, and some people that don't. They just want it simple and just get the four corners detected and just go with it. You're right. It does autofocus, but sometimes I tell people, because sometimes people are pretty fast about when they do their OCR. They expect to just go pull it up and boom, boom, and just hit the flash and then boom. And it's done. And sometimes it takes a little more than that. It takes a few seconds to sit still for a second before it can adjust. So anything that will help our users to slow down, it's beam focusing, it's readjusting, and you got a good image. You could just say it's good condition. Go ahead, take a picture. Or it's about to take a picture. 3, 2, 1, and take a picture. I don't know. It's just something to think about. Those things, but anything else you got, Scott?
Yeah, I guess this is more a general question than a question about the app, but I guess my question is, you know, you've got this great project going on and you're obviously developing other apps. Is this something that you think you want to go on to as some kind of a career, or is it kind of more like a hobby thing to you? I'm guessing hobby, right? Because if, you know, you're offering these things for free, which is great, and it's a great thing to do. You know, obviously, you can't make money off a free app. So, I don't know. I was just kind of wondering, what do you think you'll stay in app development once you are done with school, or do you think you'll, you know, are you have other things you're interested in, or what?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be app development, but definitely computer science. Yeah, I plan on studying computer science at whatever college I go to, and learning more about different technologies and different ways of doing things in regards to code. And yeah, so I'm definitely, I love programming and I want to pursue it in the future. So I'm not sure what types of things I'll be making in the future, but definitely something to do with computer science. Yeah,
A nerd at heart like the rest of us, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Shalom, how can people get a hold of you if they want to contact you in person or get some suggestions and feedback to voice and other recommendation? How do people find you?
So two ways. One is in the app itself, in the settings, there's a button called feedback. And if the users press that, then it brings up a little box where they can type their email and then click send. And the email automatically goes to me. But just in case they don't have the app, my email address is shalinvs@gmail.com, spelled shalinvs@gmail.com. So,
yeah. And the other thing that I want to kind of interject here is, you know, with free apps, the way that not only through downloading do apps gain popularity and notoriety and whatnot, but you're looking at the iTunes rating system, and you know, you go ahead and add whatever you want to this, Shalom, but I would say one of the important things to help kind of support the growth of the app and to spread awareness is rate it and review it in iTunes, you know. And if you have a problem or if something isn't clear to you, you know, reach out to the developer and try to come to a resolution or have them help you resolve it before you go ahead and throw a one-star review on there. I saw a couple of one-star reviews on iTunes, and it was pretty obvious from the one star that they didn't really invest a whole lot of time in it or weren't really sure how to navigate, and that's the user guide.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, and I totally agree with you, Scott. If you have a problem or if you have a beef with something that you're not as of liking, I always say feel free to contact a developer first. If they're not acceptable and they don't respond to you and stuff like that, and then you can give them a one-star rating. But, you know, if they're receptive and they answer back to you and say, thanks for the feedback and stuff like that, there's no reason for a one-star at all. And so that's quite a shame, because I think what you have going is a really great direction. I'm a young man that you are, and this, I really think this is absolutely cool, and I really wanted to have you on because I'm just stunned. I just really love this, and I think you're doing a good job. So keep it coming. And do you have a Twitter account by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What's that?
SHLNS. Basically, my first name and my last initial without any vowels.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that would be great, because a lot of us use Twitter. A lot of us don't, but you know, I'm always on there. I don't know about you, Scott, but
I'm on there more than I should be.
I know we all are. But that's just how it is. But yeah, keep on trucking. This is great. Keep up with the great work.
Thank you so much for coming on.
And I love your stories. And man. I hope to have you back someday, and we'll talk to you again and see how you're progressing, and keep on doing it, all right?
Thank you so much. It's been an honor to talk to you guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you for taking the time to come out here and give us a little bit of background and the backstory. And yeah, you know, and if you want to come on in the future, say, you know, if you've got some of these features implemented, by all means, reach out. You know, we're here, and we like to promote things like this. And Thomas, just so you're aware, I'm contacting you, Thomas, to let you know I'm giving you a one-star rating. Sorry.
Hey, if you didn't contact me first, though.
This is your notice.
I appreciate that. I'm sure that would be not be the first or the last I get one-star ratings. It's all good. Hey,
we all get them.
We all get them, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I think of you. Yeah. All right, Shalom. All right, buddy. You take care. And this is going to do for AppleViz Extra Podcast number 29. And until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye, everybody.
This podcast has been brought to you by the AppleViz community. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best from your Apple device, visit us online at www.appleviz.com.